let you fall asleep on me.
Athens, Georgia is a home to a multitude of sports teams at the University of Georgia, at local high schools, and in the surrounding community. Every team, every athlete, every coach has a story. As students in the Sports Media Certificate at UGA, we go looking for these stories. We're bringing you some of them to you here in the Carmichael Sports Media Institute's podcast series.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the UGA Sports Media Podcast with the Clark County Group. Today, we will be talking about all things Clark Central and Cedar Shoals. So we're going to begin with updates on the schools. I'm going to pass it off to Burke to give updates on Clark Central.
So for Clark Central, their football team is actually 7-2. They're on a 7-game winning streak.
Oh, wait, that's great.
6-0 in the region, and it came after beating Cedar Shoals last week, their biggest rivalry. So that was their rivalry game. That game was actually supposed to be played at the beginning of school, right? Mm-hmm. In August, but instead it got pushed to late October. It was played on a Thursday and not a Friday. So their final regular season game will be against Johnson. Other updates, the cross-country team met in Carrollton, Georgia. Actually, the state cross-country meet, let me rephrase that, will be in Carrollton, Georgia on November 5th and 6th. By the way, last year in the region meet, Clark Central finished first with 44 points. It's interesting, Clark Central cross-country scoring is actually sort of like golf. The lowest team with the lowest amount of points wins. I think it's based on total finishes. So they had a runner, Beck Wolf Hardy finished first, Max Carlson second, and then Solomon Kashi finished seventh, and then Roderick Bowe ninth. So four top 10 finishers in the cross country meet last week. So that is my update for Clark Central.
Awesome. And Armani, what do you have about Cedar Shoals?
So Cedar Shoals lost again this week. Like we just said, to Clark Central 42-21. And it just came off of another loss the week prior to North Oconee, 42-7. So the football team kind of going into their last game here that they're going to play tonight off of two losses. So I'm sure they're going there with a, you know, mindset of, you know, let's go out with a bang, as their record is negative. I believe they are 2-6 as of now. So next up, also another thing to note is that this game is being played on a Thursday, and we are recording on a Thursday as per typically having games on Fridays for high school. And that seems to stem from a lack of officials that are available to coach on Fridays. And so it has been down 11% from last year per GHSA. And as well as it's noted that the amount of refs that were available for these high school games was constantly increasing and was on a rise this past last decade. So up until 2019, it was a constant increase and participation and availability for referees in high school. But once COVID hit and 2020 kind of passed through, it's been on a decline since then. So like I said, it's down 11%. So that's something to also look out for in the future, really near future and far future, about the future of high school sports and what goes into what days and what games kind of happen and what time. So also, soccer team, they are currently in workouts, and they will be having tryouts coming up soon, getting ready for the winter, as well as volleyball ended their season, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and they unfortunately ended their season winless, as well as the cross-country team has also wrapped up their season about a week or two ago, and at their last meet, they had Obayemi Blake finish 25th for the male Jaguars team. And for the women's or the Lady Jags, Rachel Huff finished 31st in the last meet, and those were their top finishes. So that's the report for sports for Cedar Shoals.
Awesome. So we're going to switch gears a little bit now, and Burke has an interview that he conducted recently regarding Kendrick Curry at Clark Central's. He plays on the football team, correct?
Yes.
So we are going to play that and learn more about him.
Also features from his coach, Justin Jones, as well. So without further ado, let's play it.
Kendrick Curry is a versatile two-way sophomore at Clark Central. He has four rushing touchdowns and four sacks on a region-winning team. The approach of Curry when it comes to a two-way game is having the right mentality that it can be done and being able to play despite being tired.
Too prepared for it. You gotta be ready. Have a good mentality that you can do it. You're gonna be tired regardless.
Coach Jones mentions the team uses Curry as a defensive lineman in addition to linebacker, a taxing position to maximize his versatility as a football player.
For us to maximize his ability, I think linebacker was a little taxing on him because we use him on offense as well. So we kind of spot play him on the defensive line, and he's been making plays there for us.
Curry is described as a throwback player from the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s era, a type of player that plays offense, defense, and even special teams.
Being able to play offense, defense, special teams, he doesn't specialize in anything, but he does a lot of things well.
Curry's ability to pay attention to detail and be a coachable player stands out to his coaches.
As a coach, you want to be able to tell your athletes, do XYZ, they go ahead and execute XYZ. You know, Kendrick does a great job of doing that.
As a freshman, Curry was considered primarily a running back and then started playing on defense, which increased his versatility as a sophomore.
But we saw ways for him to get on the field earlier as a defensive player. He got on the field as a defensive player, made some plays, kind of got a taste of that. And then, you know, offense came back around.
Going into the season, the team thought Curry would be primarily a linebacker. In this season, his role increased as a defensive lineman.
Of course, and then kind of, you know, seasons have their own, you know, identities. And as our identity began to come into to vision, it was going to be more, you know, more time for him at the D-line instead of the linebacker position.
Curry's favorite part of playing football is it's a physical game, and he loves being physical.
It's a real physical game. I love being physical. I'm a real physical person.
Curry tells middle school and elementary school students to stay focused, work hard, and don't give up.
Stay focused, work hard, don't give up.
Curry first wants his team to win the state championship and to be named All-Region as a sophomore.
And state, All-Region. At least our reason for sophomore year.
Curry's motivation to play football is to provide money for his mom and move everyone out and buy a big house.
Get some money in my mom's pocket. I gotta get, move everybody out, give them a big house somewhere on the hill or something.
All right, so that was my interview with Kendrick Curry. Also talked to his coach, Justin Jones is all, and I thought it was a fascinating story. I got that idea just watching him play a football game and wanted to learn out more. I just really like his versatile two-way game. You know, he plays, as I just mentioned, plays running back, linebacker, also a lot of defensive line. And this is a team that is likely going to win, actually have, is going to win their region and play in the state playoffs.
So when does the playoffs begin for them?
So this is the last week of the regular season. I think I saw their schedule. They may even might even know their opponent. They would start next week, so I guess the 12th of November.
And obviously, Cedar Shoals will not be in the playoffs, but Clark Central, that'll be something to look out for their playoff run. Move forward a little bit. I do want to touch on some different trends that we're seeing right now in high school athletics or just athletics in general. We've touched on it in class this week, but what are y'all finding just around the schools that we are covering? What is affecting how sports are being played or how success is happening? What are y'all finding with trends?
So I just recently did a video profile for the women's soccer coach at Cedar Shoals, Miss Allie Howell. And so what I found out during that was specifically for that soccer team, they actually have been winless for like the last 10 years, or not winless, but they've struggled to have a winning season. They haven't had a winning season in over 10 years. And so her big thing was trying to make the impact to come in, as is her first year as head coach, and she wanted to come in and kind of turn the program around. And so what I learned talking to her was that they lost a lot of players over the last year or two, primarily due to COVID, and not even just because of contracting the virus. Mm-hmm. They more so left because of a culmination of things. And so that was more like the starting factor in that, right? So, for example, she was telling me that a lot of some of the players just fell out of love with soccer. They had that year off with no sports, and they felt like, okay, I'm out of shape, and there's right. no way I could come back and play. And they didn't really have that same drive because it's not directly in their face, and it's not on the come up, or not on the come up, but it's not on the cusp of happening, right? And so they're trying to ease back in. And then, you know, I know a lot of players are, you know, probably coming in as a senior and just thinking to themselves, well, I really enjoyed that peace and solitude I had that COVID year where I just went to class and went home, or I stayed home all day and did class virtually and didn't have to worry about any athletics. So there's that as well. And then I know a lot of her players were splitting time between other commitments such as ROTC and band and things like that. So it's really one of those things where you kind of, on the surface level, you think, when you think of COVID slowing sports down, you think, okay, it's only about people contracting the virus or being impaired by the virus, but people's home situations are different as well, right? Right. So I know there are some students who may have a older relative at the house that they don't want to compromise. And so them playing sports puts that at an immense risk as they're already at school all day. And then to have to, you know, play certain sports where contact is necessary, right? And personal space has to be invaded in these sports. It's kind of one of those things where it's like some people don't want to risk that, or maybe even their parents don't see the value in the sport for them, and they're more so concerned about the safety of the household. So I think that's one thing that I learned, and just a trend at Cedar Shoals with trying to get that sports program back on track, but also reaching out and trying to get other students that originally didn't do soccer to try something new. So I met a lot of the players there, and they were like, well, I've never really played soccer for a team. This is my first time attempting. And so they're currently in workouts right now. They haven't brought the ball out. They're just doing some strength and conditioning and some, you know, some light runs and workouts. So, yep, that's my thing.
I do want to add about the COVID situation, obviously all around the world, but I think it became such a big thing, and it was the most important thing for months on end. So I think the luxuries of so many things, especially sports, probably went down. Like no one wanted to risk it. No one, I don't want to say the word cared, but everyone was just dealing with other important things. So I think the world has shifted in the way they think about luxury, like, I can't think of
the word. I think you
luxury,
mean
like not amenities.
More like how it's kind of like a privilege to be able to play sports. Is that kind of what
right,
you mean?
Right.
Like, it's not something that you have to do. It's right. something that,
it's
given the resources.
It's not a life or death situation. Yeah. It's a luxury and something that people with an abundance of resources are able to do. But kind of going off that, the trend that I've seen is just that, I mean, if there's a lack of resources there, then there are not going to be as many lower income families putting their kids in sports because they're just not able to. And it's either you have an abundance of resources, and it almost seems unfair because those kids are getting everything and are able to succeed in a specific sport or multiple sports and get a huge leg up on kids that don't have the resources and their parents can't put them in sports.
Yeah, I agree. I think that on that note, it might sound off topic, but I'm going to bring it back, you know, with you saying that resources available to people are just used differently based on what is available to them. Also considering opportunity. I'm not sure if y'all are aware, there's a basketball player for the Toronto Raptors named Chris Boucher. And so I recently seen an interview with him where he grew up in poverty in Canada. And he had graduated high school and whatnot, and he kind of was just working. He was just working at like a local chicken restaurant, and he's a very tall guy, very lanky guy. And he went and just did a random basketball tournament, not even anything official, just something at a park. He got seen by a scout that just so happened to be out there, just a guy that was just, you know, able to connect him. And they just kind of came up to him and said, hey, man, you ever played basketball before? He was like, nah, not for, you know, an organized team. I just play for fun, or I just came out here because I'm tall. And they were like, well, do you want to continue working at the chicken restaurant, or do you want to come potentially play for University of Oregon? And he ended up going to play for the University of Oregon. Well, he went JUCO, and then he eventually did go to University of Oregon. But and now he's in the NBA, right? And so given his circumstances, you know, him coming from an impoverished home where he doesn't have, you know, maybe the resources or the money to be able for his parents to say, hey, you want to play basketball this season? Here's some money. Or, hey, you want to play this sport? We're going to pay those dues and get you the equipment that you need to do so. But he was given an opportunity without the resources being there for him. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you really don't know where the talent truly is, because some people are just afforded different opportunities than others. So,
but yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. But and plenty of underprivileged kids eventually, like the story you were just saying, eventually get to play their sport at the next level and then potentially professionally. But it is kind of sad that we see at these schools the lack of participation. Yes, possibly because of COVID, but also because they are underprivileged schools and the resources and the funding just isn't there.
Yeah, like in a perfect world, every school could be able to say, hey, you know, come out and try to join our golf team or try to join our lacrosse team. But, you know, it's also like a, you know, it's a demographic thing. It's an area thing. It's a, you know, resource thing, a funding thing. Like there's just so many factors that go into what is available at a school and what will be available at a school. And so even considering we talked about esports in class today very briefly, where it seems like in theory you could make esports something for high school because you can essentially replicate an even playing field for each person. But that's not really the case, right? Because I probably could just assume that North Oconee, their computer lab is probably a lot better than Cedar Shoals' computer lab. And, you know, if they have to match up and, you know, North Oconee has a LAN cable and they got extra speed internet and all kinds of better things going on for their players, does it really make the even playing field, you know? Yeah. So it's just a lot of other things to consider with that. So
Have any trend that you've noticed,
so, Clark? This is a big story. This is not just here local. This is a big statewide thing that obviously affects local teams. So the Georgia High School Association announced over the next 2 years, there will be changes. This will be in effect for 2022-23 and also through 2024. So it's a every 2 year thing. So some schools, like a local school in the area, is dropping from 6A to 5A. That's Appalachie, while Jefferson is actually moving up from 4A to 5A, one of the better teams in the state in 4A. So this could actually impact make games potentially harder for Clark Central, who's staying steady in 5A. They are actually, and I looked at the AJC, put out a great article where they ranked in 5A down the road. I think they could possibly go to 6A. Cedar Shoals and North Oconee right at the 5A, 6A border. So just interesting reading about classification, how that impacts things. And just another thing, apparently, and this is according to the AJC as well, if you have also an Athens Banner Herald article, if you have a student that's from out of the district, apparently they count three times as many students, so that you see some of the private schools moving up, where they're maybe like St. Pius, for example, they're probably really a 3 or 4A school. They're bumping up to 7A.
Wow.
So you have basically reclassification of big states. So basically who plays who next year will look different than it did this year. So for an example, here in this local area, 5A schools, you have Clark Central, Jackson County, Jefferson, Winder Barrow, obviously Cedar Shoals, North Oconee, 4A schools, Oconee County, a 3A school right on the border between 3 and 4A. So that's the news going on with the reclassification.
That is interesting, because that could greatly affect especially Cedar Shoals and Clark Central, their schedule and how they're able to perform against possibly some better schools next year in football and other sports. And obviously Cedar Shoals will be looking to form better next season than this season, obviously. So, I mean, that could present a completely different challenge that they weren't even prepared for.
Yeah, I agree. Makes sense.
To wrap up here shortly, is there any updates on winter sports at Clark Central?
So, interesting thing. So, Clark Central is playing their first game on November 16th against Oconee County. It's interesting. This state put out a ranking. So, Clark Central is ranked. They're ranked sixth in the entire state of 5A schools ranked sixth on the list. So that means that based on state playoff finish, projected to go somewhere in the Elite Eight. So this could be a potential team that could win a state championship in basketball. So high expectations for the basketball team. And I looked at the two schedules. The boys and girls basketball schedules are very similar. And I think that's been the way when I've been around high school basketball in Georgia, where the girls team, whether it's Homer Road, played first and the boys team followed.
The same teams,
same places. So again, the teams in boys and girls sports will vary. So a game that's easy potentially for Clark Central, boys could be harder for reverse. So I always thought that was interesting how the schools play the same teams for each game, kind of a joint game almost. So that's an update for me, basketball starting.
Yeah, basketball at Cedar Shoals. I believe the girls' first game is next week. The varsity girls' game is next week, their first one. And the boys got preseason ranked sixth. So that is something to look out for their upcoming season.
Do you feel like that's a snub?
I kind of think it is because they, I don't know, they made it. The boys made it to the Elite Eight last season. Mm-hmm. The girls made it to the Final Four. So, I don't know. I was kind of surprised by that. I was. I kind of expected to be maybe like four.
Yeah, I thought they would be a little bit higher as well, especially with them bringing back Kashik Brown as well. Yeah. So, that's cool. But
anything else?
No, I think that's all we got. So.
All right. Well, that wraps up our conversation on Clark Central and Cedar Shoals. Thanks for listening.
Please subscribe to this podcast at anchor.fm/carmichael-sports-media. For more information on the UGA Sports Media Program, please visit our website at sportsmediainstitute.uga.edu. To see and hear more, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @BySportsMediaUGA.